Good morning to you all. This is our second Sunday of 2008. It is January the 13th, 2008 AD, and Straight Gate Ministries, teachingbible.com.net.org, welcomes you to whether you're hearing us at the church, whether you're hearing us by outreach on audio cassette or CD, or whether my voice is coming to you right now over the internet. If you've heard our archives and you clicked on Sanctified for the Gospel, you're in the right place. That will be the sermon that our pastor will deliver today, immediately after we hear a reading from the Old and from the New Testament. I'm going to read from the King James Version today in both cases. If your version is a little bit different, that's fine. If you've been with us before, you know what to do. Folks here in the audience have handouts, and hang on to them. If you haven't, you'll want to either keep your place in the Bible or hang on to a handout if you have it. Because everything that I read, Pastor Fisher will back refer to during today's sermon. So you just kind of want to keep that handy. If you happen to be in your outreach program and you don't have a Bible, and Pastor Fisher happens to be with you, ask him for one. He'll give you your very own hardbound copy of the Bible for yourself to keep. And that way you'll be able to keep it and read it. And keep these lines in mind. Our Old Testament scripture reading this morning is from Jeremiah 1, and these are verses 1 through 10. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathotho, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the Lord came in the days of Joshua, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, in the Joshua king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Joshua, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of the Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put the words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. Amen. Today's New Testament scripture reading is one that our pastor is particularly fond of, I believe. It is from Romans 1. And this will be verses 1 through 6. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, greetings to all present on outreach and on the internet and in our congregation here. Today we're going to return to what we call our routine format of going through our chapters of the Bible. We're going to embark on a new study, which will be through the very excellent book of Romans, as I said, one of our pastor's favorites. Our pastor, Lance Fisher, is very excited about this study, and he wants to encourage everyone not to miss any of the teachings from this series. And he said that he is praying for the enrichment of everyone who continues in this compelling study through what is perhaps one of the most influential letters written by the Apostle Paul, and maybe even in the entire Bible. Now, last Lord's Day, Straight Gate Ministries, teachingbible.org.com.net, our pastor, Landis Fisher, presented us a message for us to start this year of 2008 off right. instructing us in the ways to make our walk better in the year to come. And now, to really get us started in this new study, with a new sermon that he has called Sanctified for the Gospel, it is my pleasure to introduce Straight Gate Ministries, teachingbible.com.org.net's very own pastor. This is Pastor Landis Fisher.
Amen.
Amen. We thank the Lord for everything, and it is a great new year that the Lord has set before us, and we hope to make sure it is a good year, amen, with his grace and with his mercy. And I just want to thank everybody for being here, those of you who are here, and this is a great letter of Martin Luther and many other great theologians have considered the book of Romans to be one of the most important as far as doctrine and Christianity is concerned. It is a very important book, and I'm hoping that we can take this time as we study to bring out some very, very important things. I've heard a lot of different titles for series in Romans over the years, and so I haven't actually picked one yet, because there's so many of them out there, and I don't know what the deal is with that, but we're not going to worry about that. Some people say we're going to be roaming through Romans, and you know, we're going to kind of do something along those lines. But there are so many practical things here that I find in this letter that I think are really have been a blessing to me throughout my life, and so I'm sure they will to you as you think on what the Apostle Paul said as he wrote these words. And so we're going to dig into this, and we'll see how it goes. Romans is a very thick doctrinal book. It's not thick in chapters. It only has 16 chapters, but some of you know it can take quite a while to go through there if you sit through all the ideas. We've been through a number of books with Straight Gate Ministry so far. We've been through quite a few. They're online. Most of them are online. If you ever want to go back and do any backup or catch-up study, you can always log in to teachingbible.org and listen at your leisure whenever you have opportunity to download a message and burn it, listen to it in the car, or when you have some idle time. Amen. So we try to keep those things available. This is a part of this ministry's global outreach. We have to reach out to the world because Jesus told us to go into all the world and teach all the nations. And so we have to do that in some form. And so the internet has made it possible for me to sit in St. Louis and have something available that people can take in the word all over the planet. And so we try to publicize a website, and hopefully you'll do that too. And if you have friends in other cities or other countries, certainly let them know that these things are available online. And I'm sure that if the Apostle Paul was alive, as zealous as he was for the gospel of Christ, and had tools like what you and I have now today, television, radio, internet, all these kind of things, that he would certainly have done that. He traveled on foot farther than the average person travels in a lifetime. I have to look at Ben, I have to say maybe that's not so, because he's been a traveling dude also. Quite a few people.
And, not on foot.
Not on foot, though. But, I mean, he was actually on horseback, on foot, in a boat, any kind of way he could go. He took several modes of travel as we did, whatever was available. And in fact, just before he wrote this letter, he had been through a lot of little changes. As we read at the end of the book of Acts, we found out that he was on a ship that was in the midst of a terrible storm, kind of like a tsunami. And the ship came in, broke all up in pieces, and they floated into the coast on broken pieces of the ship. And but he knew that he wouldn't make it to Rome, and so this was a letter that he wrote previous to the time that he came in. He went through all kinds of stuff. If you read the book of Acts, you can listen to our study online from the book of Acts. We went through the entire book from chapter 1 through chapter 28. And those are available online. In either case, Paul went through great pains and measures writing to the Romans who were there. The gospel, basically Rome was in power. We're going to talk a little bit about the background of this, a little bit in each segment as we go through. Rome was kind of like America is today, back in those days, the days when Jesus Christ came into the world. It was the major power of the world. In other words, they were in charge of everything. They controlled all the other nations, were under them somewhere, kind of like the other nations are today under America. Although I must admit now America's in kind of a shaky situation, like Rome got to be by the time the end of the Roman Empire came around. It was in a shaky situation and eventually crumbled because of the decadence and the evil that went through the culture and the failure for people to be right with God and to acknowledge all kinds of false gods and all those things like Rome was doing. It was convenient for them to do that. Everybody likes religion, let's just put it that way. No matter who they are, folks are always like religion. Oh yes, I have my religion. I didn't want to be religious, but they don't want to be saved many times. People want to reject the only way you can be saved, which is by faith in God's Son, for the sake of something they call religion, and then the governments, they accommodate those kind of things. That's what we have today. We call it political correctness in America, where we want to acknowledge all kinds of things except the truth. But the gospel is very clear, and Jesus did not leave us room here to word. You needed to know what was on the mind of God. You understood that you needed the Lord, and you could feel a call in your life, some drawing you to the word of God. Okay, and so the same thing was true even in times before Jesus came. And we have one example here before us that we'll talk about briefly here from the book of Jeremiah. And this is Jeremiah. He was one of the great prophets of the Old Testament who was responsible for quite a bit of the prophecy that tells us about the coming of Jesus Christ. And so Jeremiah was very much like you and I. He was a common everyday type of guy, but he was selected by God for a certain purpose in the world. So these are the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. This is just before the captivity of the southern kingdom. And in fact, right at the last hour is when Jeremiah spoke, just before Israel, the people of God, were taken into captivity. It says here in verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Now, the Bible is always specific to give you the time periods of who was in charge and all that, so that you can trace it back in history and find out that it is factual and it is true. It says, it came to pass, verse number 3, in those days that Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah. That means from the very last kingdom all the way up to the last king who was on the throne before Jerusalem was taken into captivity, as the B part of the verse says, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So Jeremiah was the prophet to Israel just before they were taken away into Babylon in captivity. See, some of us might be like that to someone else. We might be speaking a word to someone who really needs to hear that God loves them, that He has given His Son for their sins, and it may be the last time. We never know when the Lord will return. We don't worry about that, those of us who are in Christ, because we know that whenever He comes, it's going to be a blessing for us because we're trusting in Him. We have our faith in Him. We're grounded in Him. He is our Savior. He has already convinced us that He loves us, and we understand that, and we believe that in the deepest part of our being. So we don't worry about that time when the Lord comes, but who I begin to worry about is people who don't know Him. And it makes it very urgent for me to let people know, to notify people. People who we say we love, we need to tell them what they need to do to be prepared, because when it comes, it's going to be a big surprise. When Jesus came the first time, He came as a lamb, the Bible tells us. Then the next time it prophesies He comes as a lion. So when He comes, there's a big difference between a lamb and a lion. A lamb is a very docile creature, and a lion is a very fierce and ferocious creature. So the next time He comes as the lamb, the lion of the tribe of Judah, as it says here. And of course, Judah was the last tribe to be carried away into captivity, as it is written here in the book of Jeremiah. Now notice this, we're saying all that just to set some background to how it was, because, you know, ethics of time and on God's clock take people by surprise all the time. People are never ready for God's next move, and except those who are tuned in to what God is doing. You see, it's always a surprise when judgment came. All the people in Israel who were not thinking about God, who were doing the wrong thing, minding their own business, were sitting there, and it took them by surprise when Nebuchadnezzar came, although the prophets had been telling them for years, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and take you into captivity. And they didn't believe it. Well, we don't believe the word of God, you see. And so we're going to have people like that in our time when the Lord returns. The church is going to be broadcasting the truth. They're going to be minding their business, going, we don't believe all that. And next thing you know, it's going to overtake them like a flood. You see, coming in from every side. And so that's the way it always is. You can see it here in this Old Testament text. And so people need to be ready. The sad thing is God's already ready. He's already put His cards on the table, to use a bad metaphor. His hand is face up. He has told you, I've sent my Son, Jesus Christ. All who trust in Him will be saved and will be spared from the wrath and the judgment that will be coming. And so why do people reject that? That's a hard thing for me to understand. And the fact is, they should say thank you, Lord, and embrace what He has given and be saved and not have to have that fear or that worry about judgment. But moving on, let's move on. So many subtopics in this. I just wanted to take you through this kind of quick today. But here it says in verse number 4, the word of the Lord, Jeremiah 1 and 4, came unto me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God was talking to Jeremiah. He said, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. See, now I could stop right there and talk about how horrible abortion is and what an ugly thing that is in America. And we have such a problem with not only here but around the world. But I'm saying, God says he spoke to Jeremiah and told him, before I ever formed you, I knew you. Think about that, how that is. Before you were ever conceived, I knew you. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And he says, and before you came forth from the womb, I sanctified you. You had a call on your life before you were ever born. You know, every one of us who was in Christ, God knew that we would be. As it says in Ephesians chapter 1 in the 4th verse, he said he chose us in him from the foundation of the world. See, God already knew you would be his child, that you would trust in his son and believe and that he would save you. So before he ever knew us, he's telling Jeremiah this secret. You could say this is an exposition of what Paul eventually reveals in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, that those who are saved were chosen by God from the foundation of the world. And so he's telling Jeremiah the same thing in kind of a primitive manner. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth from the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. So God already knew that Jeremiah would be a prophet. Now this was astonishing news to Jeremiah. He didn't just say, okay, Lord, I'm a prophet, and move right into it. Look at his reaction here. He says in verse 6, and I said, ah, Lord God, it's a shocking thing for him to hear this from the Lord. Behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. What do you mean I'm a prophet to the nations? I don't know anything about what you're talking about. Lord, he began to question God about the calling that God has just unveiled to him. He says here, so he says, ah, Lord God, that's kind of crying out from his soul. But the Lord said unto me, say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go, and I work that. To all that I shall send thee, you're going to go, don't worry about it. He says, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Just speak whatever I give you to speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. That lets you know whatever you say is going to sour up some people's face. They're going to be looking crazy when you tell them what I tell you. See? But don't worry about that. When they looking at you all evil, giving you the evil eye, and looking at you all crazy, like they were shocked by what you said, don't worry about it. I'm with you, he says. And I'll be with you even to the end of the world. He says, so do not be afraid of their faces. I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. See that? And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Did you realize that prophets who speak God's word have authority over the nations? That's why I wonder when I see some of these preachers saying they want to be politicians. Why do you want to take a demotion? I don't understand why you want to be demoted to a politician. You know, the Lord sets you over the countries, over the kingdoms, over the nations to speak his word. And speaking his word has that authority and that power because it is the word of God. And so Jeremiah had a little trouble recognizing his calling. And I just mention that to you only because, of course, he did. And he went on and he prophesied to the nations. And many people were saved from the destruction when the Babylonians came in and carried the Israelites away into captivity because of the word of Jeremiah. In fact, you know, God's people were told that this is going to happen and you're going to go into captivity, but you're going to be fine. You don't even have to worry about it. That's where we get people like Daniel, who was in the captivity, and he went through the whole thing, the whole 70 years, and God was with him the whole time, blessing him, carrying him through everything. They threw him in the lion's den. They threw him in the fire. They threw his friends in the fiery oven, and all that, and they were still protected because God says, I'm with you, and there's nothing on earth that can alter your destiny. Once I have called you, you have become mine, and we have a relationship together. They can throw you in the fire, baby. It's not going to make no difference. I'm with you. You know, not to mention bill collectors and all the kind of stuff we have to deal with today. You know, makes no difference. Threats that people give you, they threaten your situation financially and all kinds of other ways. If God is with you, the world cannot be against you. You see, they can be against you, but it's not going to do them any good. You know, you can be tortured and assaulted, like I said, but the Lord will be with you and He will carry you through. And so Jeremiah went through all that. Daniel went through it. We got many witnesses that went through all kinds of trouble and God still brought them through. He was with them even to the end. Now that's just kind of a precursor. I wanted you to see and think about it a little bit as we go into this book of Romans about calling. And I asked Brother Jameson about this earlier today. What do you think God is calling you to do? What is He giving you to do? Every child of God has a purpose. You have a purpose. You're not of no purpose. Don't ever let the devil tell you that you have a meaningless life. He likes to do that. He likes to beat up on you when you are thinking down on yourself. But God has a purpose to you. It may not look like it to the world. It may not look like it even to yourself, to the flesh. But the fact is, God loves you. He has called you. He has destined and ordained you from before you were formed in the womb. And you're here strictly by His grace and His mercy, and He loves you. So meditate on that. Pray on that this week. The Apostle Paul came to understand this, and of course he was against Jesus Christ. We know that. We read about that in the book of Acts chapter 9. It says he was still breathing out threats against the church. He was determined to destroy the church because he thought it was a cult. And he was a Jew, an Orthodox Jew. He loved God. He figured he was of the covenant people. He was born of the tribe of Benjamin. Of course, Benjamin and Judah were the two tribes in the southern kingdom. And they maintained their lineage a little bit better because they were taken into captivity later than the other 10 tribes in the northern kingdom, which went into captivity over 100 years before the southern kingdom. And so Paul was of that tribe of Benjamin. And he was called Saul of Tarsus. He hated the church. He hated Jesus Christ. He was there when Stephen was being stoned to death by the religious rulers in Jerusalem. When Stephen stood up and told them the gospel, they stoned him to death. And Paul was there giving credence to what they were doing to Stephen as he was put to death, one of the first or early martyrs in the church. But Paul was called. He was a selected and chosen vessel. We're going to see that, and we'll talk about that a little bit as we unfold. We don't have a lot today on here today. This is a thick message, but we only have a little bit. We're only going to get into the door here today, and then we'll be done. But Paul says this. Now, keep in mind, he is the one who went out to destroy the church, but he was called and selected by God. And so this is what he says of himself. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. The word apostle is the Greek word apostolos. That's one who is sent. He's sent out to go out. It doesn't necessarily, it is an office in the Bible, but it has to do with going, being sent. He was an apostle. Now it says separated unto the gospel of God. In other words, God has sanctified him. That's where we get this title, sanctified for the gospel, because God separated him for the purpose of preaching the gospel to all the nations. You see that? And so he says he is Paul. He's a servant of Jesus Christ. He was the enemy of Jesus Christ until he was converted on the Damascus Road and realized that Jesus loved him and was the only way of salvation, that he was the true Messiah who would come into the world and be crucified for the sins of all believers. You see that? And is the only Savior, the only mediator between God and man. He came to understand all that. He writes these things to others in the subsequent letters that he wrote after he was called. He was called to be an apostle separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised. Now this is that gospel word that's in the Old Testament, in the Law and the Prophets, that God had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You see that? Now that's a way of speaking of the Old Testament, from the books of Moses, which we would call the book of the law, clear up to Malachi. Now what is the gospel? It's concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He came through the line of the kings of Israel, the king David, who was the good king of Israel. And we read about many of those kings in Jeremiah's background up there. Also, now notice this, and he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's why we know he is the genuine article, because he is the one who was risen from the dead. See, the resurrection of Christ proved that he had authority and power over death and the grave. You know, death and the grave scare the daylights out of most people. We're all worried a lot of times about death and the grave, but we shouldn't be, because it's just a horrible thing. It's the most horrible thing in life is death, you see. But the fact is, we have the gospel. The gospel is that good news that God has done something about the problem of death. He is the only one who has done something about the problem of death that we can count on. He's the only one who defeated death and rose from the dead. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is declaring that he is in fact Messiah, the one who God sent. And what the wages for sin, the Bible says, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. So death has been swallowed up in victory, and we can trust in God by His Son, and because He raised Him from the dead, that lets us know that He has authority over the penalty for sin, which is death. Now notice this, it says, by whom, in other words, through Jesus Christ, we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience of the faith, he says, to the faith among all the nations for His name. That expresses the duty of the church. It is our duty to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. We want everyone to hear the good news that God loves you. He's given His Son for you. You have not done anything for which He would not forgive you. He loves you just like you are. If you're going through difficult situations or if you have a problem in your life, God is there for you. He loves you. He has kept you here in order for you to hear this good news, and that's what we call the gospel, the good news that God sent His Son so that wretches like me who really don't do everything right, who really don't live as cleanly as I'd like to. You know, I can't stand here today and tell you I'm perfect. I wish I could. You know, but I'm better than I used to be. The Lord called me a long time ago, and He changed so many things in my life. A lot of people who did know me back in the days, they say, you know, what happened to you? They won't know what happened to you because you've been through some changes. You see? And the fact is, God will do that. He calls you from wherever you are. It doesn't make any difference where you are, how low you may have gone. He will call you, pick you up, take you, and He will begin to elevate you in your life and in all the areas of your life. You see? And He does that because He loves us. He excuses us by the death of His Son when we trust in Jesus Christ from all sin. And we know that for sure. That's why we call this gospel. That's the good news. And so this is to be preached to all the nations. Now I let you know God has one plan of salvation. We hear so much today about, people in their various religions, all people, all roads lead to God. No, they don't. Not according to the Word. Jesus is the only one that rose from the dead. No one else did. Buddha is in his grave right now. Died from eating tainted pork. Confucius died. His ashes were somewhere over in China. You see what I mean? We could go on. Muhammad is dead. They go and visit his tomb in Mecca. They had no solution for the problem of death. The only one who ever rose from the dead is Jesus Christ. That's why He is declared to be the Son of God with power and authority. He Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So that's either true or it's not. You can't just throw Him into a big group of so-called gods and come out with that being the truth, because if that's true, if anything else is true, then His statement is not true. How can He be my Savior? You see? And so either we believe Him or we don't. He gave us a black and white thing where either you understand Him, accept Him, and believe Him, or you don't. You believe something else, or you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so the gospel is black and white, but that's not popular in our world of relativism. That's what crumbled the Roman Empire, as I told you. Too much relativism and political correctness and all that. You know what? If all these things are true, then nothing is true. But you know what Jesus said? He separated Himself. That's what that word sanctified means, to be separated. The gospel is separated from all other types of messages about God and all the world. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of God's promises and came into being at the exact time that He had ordained from the foundation of the world. So God had planned that Jesus would come right at that time. We count 2008 years from this time back to the time of His birth. And so God planned that, and it happened, and now His mercy has been rolling on for 2008 years since Jesus was born. See? And so if you're here today, you've never accepted Christ, do it today. This is your day. It says here in number two here, the gifts of the ministries are all by the grace of God. You know what? None of us deserve to do anything for God. Not a soul. Paul knew it. Because he was against the Lord, and the Lord had to turn him around from the way he was going. Then he became a servant of Jesus Christ, dedicated and separated unto the gospel of God. See that? So how did that come? It came by grace. God's grace and His mercy came, and Paul knew that it was a gift. It was something that the Lord had given him that he otherwise would not have had. And so all of our gifts, every one of us have a gift from the Lord, because when you get called and selected by God, He blesses you. He gives you. He fills you with His Spirit. He loves you, and He has a course and a purpose for you. You know, each of us have a spot in life that no one else occupies. There's nobody like you anywhere. You all are unique individuals. You see people in your life every day that I will probably never see in my lifetime. See? So you have a sphere of influence yourself where God has selected you and scattered us like salt and pepper out into the world. See? You know, and there's a spy on some people who you can talk to about Christ that I will never see, even though we're in the same city. There's folks you know that I will never see. That's a strange thing, but it's true. Check it out. You know, if you start thinking about all the folks you know in other cities and different places, there's a lot of people you know that some everyone else in here doesn't know. Even when you're married, your wife knows somebody you don't know, a cousin or a friend or somebody from school or something that you just don't know. That's just the way it is. But, you know, God uses that to his advantage, and he uses it to the advantage of the kingdom. That's why everyone has a ministry and a purpose and a gift from God, everyone who is called. And there's someone you can reach that no one else can reach in your life. Pray about it. These are the kind of things I pray about. Lord, who do you want me to share Christ with? And how can I get the opportunity? He sets it up, and usually they end up asking me, and I have opportunity to tell them. I don't go around foisting things on people. You know, but if the conversation leads that way, yes, certainly I'm going to tell you about the Savior, Jesus Christ. And so these are gifts of ministry that the Lord has given, and every child of God, whether you be a child or an adult, is blessed. You can't say, oh, I'm not but a child. Lord, Jeremiah thought that, but in fact, he was called the prophet of God. See that? And so those who are set apart are blessed for the purposes of spreading the gospel and are privileged to be able to shoulder the burdens of the saved. In other words, we help each other lick our wounds when we've been offended by the world and all that, and also to minister to the rest of the people in the world who are not saved, you see? And so that's where we are. That's why we get together and meet in the church, so because we're like-minded, we come together to be fed in the truth so that we can go out and minister to the other people in the world who need Jesus Christ. And so I have gotten down, and I was telling Brother Jamerson about this just as we close our thoughts, that I have been praying about what is it that you want me to do, Lord, particularly, and I'm asking him to guide me step by step. You know what? He will do that. God will do that. He promised that if you commit your works to the Lord, in other words, the things that you do, that your thoughts will be established. So God has a way of working in your mind and bringing you through to establish your thoughts and have you do his will and learn what his will is for your life. And so it's a good thing. God is for the family. You see, the world is against the family. The world likes to destroy families, separate families, and mutilate families, and do everything to desecrate a family. But God is for the family. The very first unit that he made was the family. He made Adam, and the first thing the Bible says is not good that the man should be alone. And that's even before there was any sin, and it says it was not good. So you see, that's an integral thing that families should be together. And so we want to call upon the Lord. This is my recommendation for everyone here, and I'm doing this myself. Pray and ask God, what would he have you do in this year, this 2008? Think about that. We're going to get back to the Apostle Paul as we move a little deeper into the study in Romans. But think about your calling. Examine yourself and where you are, and realize God loves you. He's accepting you exactly like you are. There's no one that's below being accepted by God. God takes us right where we are. He lifts us into his family, and we can know for sure that we're saved. We don't have to worry about it one little bit. Amen. The devil would have you worry about it. So we're going to take a period of time now, if you have any comments or questions, to deal with those at this time. And as I say, this is only the tip of the iceberg. The book of Romans is very deep and very heavy. We'll reveal more about the background in that as we continue the study. Amen.